since the COVID-19 pandemic started nearly a year ago, many of us haven't been able to see our family and friends as much as we'd like, and a lot of people have found creative ways to keep those close relationships strong. But what about the friends you aren't quite so close to? The coworker you chat with in the break room, your favorite bartender, an old classmate you run into from time to time? If you are missing those casual friendships, you're not alone. Our next guest feels the same and found there's plenty of reasons why our outer circle of friends is so important. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel yourself missing those everyday encounters with more casual friends? What do those types of relationships do for you? Why do you think they matter? Are you looking forward to bringing them back? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Amanda Mull is a staff writer at The Atlantic. Her latest piece is called "The Pandemic Has Erased Entire Categories of Friendship." Amanda, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
What got you thinking about this sort of outer circle, the blurry line between their friend and acquaintance, somewhere in between?
Well, this is something that had been sort of nagging at me since the very beginning of the pandemic, because I am a very chatty person. I like to be a regular at bars and restaurants near my apartment. I like chatting with my building's UPS guy. I like to talk. But a couple of months ago, I was watching the first episode of the Netflix show, Emily in Paris. And in one of the very first scenes, you see the main character and her boyfriend in a bar watching sports. And I just flashed back to spending, fall Saturdays watching college football in a bar in Manhattan with a bunch of other fellow displaced University of Georgia alumni. And I felt such longing to be able to do that again, to be around hundreds of other people who are just all excited about the same thing, all paying attention to the same thing, all excited to be together. I just really missed that energy so much.
Well, and I'm not the chattiest of people in real life, but I got to say, when I'm out for a walk in the neighborhood and I walk and I run into that, person I've known for a while, they're not a friend. It's awesome now. It's like this great thing. And I realize how much I miss it. And I'm guessing you and I aren't alone here. Turns out, and you talked to some researchers on this, this is an important part of our lives.
Right. You're getting in an important dynamic here, because this is something that most introverts experience as well. The peripheral contacts in our lives, what sociologists call weak ties, are extremely important to people because they provide variety, they provide low-stakes social interaction, they provide all kinds of serendipity and joy and wonder that you get in like little doses throughout the day on a normal day. And that is really important. And it's really important for people who find larger, more important social interactions draining too, because these interactions are just low stakes. They don't have a lot of pressure that goes along with them. And they can be really sustaining and helpful to people psychologically.
Yeah, why is that? I mean, if we ask people what relationships are important to you, close family member, best friend, spouse, kids, that kind of thing. Why is it that these more distant relationships can do so much for us?
American culture doesn't have a lot of words to refer to all of these different types of friends that we have. I asked every researcher I spoke to, what do we call these people? And really, it's just friend. But American culture also says that we should get most of what we need, or all of what we need, from our closest ties, from our friends, from our best friends, from our closest family, from our romantic partners. And really, that's just not how human minds work. We need variety. We need people to bring us new information, to snap us out of our ruts, things like that. And I think until these relationships were gone, a lot of people didn't even realize that they had really existed in the first place, because we completely gloss over them as a culture.
And it's easy to gloss over, more easier to gloss over those during the pandemic, it seems like, because with those close ties, we're going to go to the effort to make the phone call or set up the video chat or something. I'm not going to go, hey, guy I run into at band shows twice a year, let's do a Zoom chat. And that they're not going to do it with me either. So it's been really hard to maintain those things now.
Right. So much of socialization during the pandemic is really effortful and purposeful and scheduled and carefully planned, because you want to be safe. You don't want to infect anybody. You want to be in in an environment where everybody can feel comfortable. But that requires a lot of forethought. It also requires you to reach out to people directly. It requires you to have their phone numbers, to know their full name. And a lot of these weaker ties, the people throughout our lives that we interact with every day, you just don't have their contact information, first of all, let alone the real desire to go on a Zoom happy hour with them. For a lot of the people in our lives, that's just not an appropriate way to hang out. You need to encounter them in life, in the places where your relationships have flowered in the past. And a lot of those places are just cut off right now.
We're talking to Amanda Mull from The Atlantic. She wrote a piece on, you know, not our closest circle of friends and family, that next group out, how we've lost those contacts, those relationships in many ways during the pandemic, and why they're so important to us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this something you feel like you're missing? Have you found a way to replace it and have those chance encounters with the coworkers or people at the store or wherever you run into people? 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from another Amanda actually on Twitter. This is you. I think a quote from you, Amanda. I cannot wait for some random person I never want to have dinner with to slosh some beer on me in a bar, apologize, joke around with me about her 50 seconds after I decline an offer to get my next drink, and then we both move on with our evenings. That sounds awesome. In a way that it didn't a year ago. Are we going to come out of this, do you think, more interested in making sure we have these kind of contacts in our lives?
Yes, I think that there will be sort of a transition period where everybody sort of relearns what it feels like to be outside and among people again. I think it'll be really, really exciting, but we're so not used to that level of stimulation right now that I think that it'll be a process of getting back. But once it's safe, once people really feel like they can embrace all the things that they were missing, I think that it's going to be sort of a glorious period of realizing that you're just happy to see people you don't even like. You're happy to see people who might have annoyed you before. You're happy to see the guy, like I said, the guy who bumps you at the bar and spills his beer on you a little bit. I think that all of those interactions, you know, are opportunities to see our humanity reflected back at us. And that's just really important.
We had a call from a listener in Madison who can stay on the line, who has a name for these people. Their name for that is significant strangers. I don't know. What do you think of that term, Amanda?
I think that that is a great term for a subset of these people, because I think that you sort of immediately know who that is in your life when you hear it. The UPS guy who comes to my building, who I love seeing, I don't know his name. I don't think he knows my first name, because it's on the packages.
Right.
But he's a significant stranger to me. I love seeing him. When I saw him the first time after things eased up in New York a little bit, where I am right now, I almost cried. I was so happy to see him.
We are talking about, well, significant strangers, casual friends, acquaintances, workplace relationships, maybe not the closest person. Amanda Mull is with us from The Atlantic. She wrote about this, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Is this something you have been missing, whether you've been thinking about it or noticing it or not, or you're just thinking about it now that we're talking about it? Do you look forward to being able to just run into people at the bar or the restaurant or the coffee shop or the workplace if you're working from home? What do you miss about those relationships? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Amanda Mull from The Atlantic about the casual friendships and everyday encounters we're having a lot less of during the pandemic and why they have value in our lives, why we miss them, and maybe if we look forward to them. How about you? 800-642-1234. Is there a particular interaction you've been missing since the pandemic started at the workplace, at the store, you name it? Tell us about it. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Amanda, I mentioned the workplace a couple times. You wrote some about that. without those casual encounters, maybe between boss and employee, for example, it might actually hurt things, hurt the workplace dynamic. What do we see there?
Yes, there's a couple of potential problems lurking in the workplace because of the loss of all of these weak ties. I spoke to one researcher in particular who had done some research on how people behave in instructor-instructee conversations, which of course happens a lot at the workplace between bosses and employees. And what he found is that when those types of pairs have more unstructured time to talk with each other, it sort of helps balance the conversation, because normally when someone is telling someone else what to do, the instructor is the person who talks a lot. If you have that unstructured time, the employee in this case gets to put their two cents in, gets to feel heard, gets to feel like their interaction is mutual and like everybody understands what's going on. What he found is that when that happens, both parties report much higher satisfaction and much more happiness with those interactions. But that can really only happen in person. You run into people, you linger over the communal coffee pot, you run out to grab lunch together, things like that. With all of the tools that we have for digital work, you end up with really, really structured time. In Zoom calls, for example, there is almost always a really clear idea of who is going to be talking and who is going to be listening, how long they're going to last, and what is going to be covered. So you really lose all those opportunities for employees to feel heard and appreciated and like they're contributing and like their concerns are being heard.
You pointed out in your piece, Amanda, even before the pandemic, there were concerns about at least a decent chunk of the American population already feeling kind of isolated. What are we seeing as we lose these contacts that might have helped us at least a little bit break out of that trend?
Right. A big problem is that America has been on sort of a path to loneliness and personal isolation for quite a long time. We have lost a lot of social institutions, a lot of cultural institutions, community institutions. People are less religious. They're more clustered in suburbs. And it's just harder to get to know the people around you, which leads to loneliness. And what research indicates on that is that you end up feeling this isolation in your body. I spoke to one researcher who had found that for people who are socially isolated, their chance of premature death by any type of mortality rose 30%, which is significant. People start to sort of decompensate when they're alone. They don't keep up their hygiene habits. They don't keep up their personal health habits. They may forget to take their medication because the days sort of run into each other and it's harder to mark time. They may not eat regularly, or they may eat sort of irregularly. They may eat too much, or they may not get good produce and things like that because they feel like they can't go out. So you have a lot of situations in which things can really go wrong if you don't have that constant check-in of just these random little social interactions and feeling like you're part of a community. It can also be really bad for people's sense of psychological isolation. And what one researcher told me is that when people don't feel connected to their communities in real life, they go searching for community online. Sometimes that can be great. You find groups of people on the internet that love baseball or knitting or something like that, that you also love. On the other hand, a lot of the platforms and companies that we use are sort of incentivized to put you on a track toward perhaps niche political groups. And that, I think, is responsible for some of the acceleration in extremism that we've seen over the past year, especially to some more fringe groups, cult-like groups, things like that. Because people are looking for certainty and they're looking for support, and these groups swoop in when they see people like that.
We're talking to Amanda Mull, staff writer at The Atlantic, about a piece she wrote on a decline in casual friendships. It's harder to have those chance encounters with people during the pandemic at the bar, restaurant, store, diner, workplace, you name it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you find yourself missing that, that's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. All right, Amanda, you put a lot of thought into this. You talked to some experts about it. Have you found a way, again, given that we can't go out and really gather in places still, have you found any way to get at least a taste of some of that casual friendship interaction?
You know, I haven't found any great methods that I can repeat every day like I would going to a coffee shop or something like that. Because, you know, there are still protocols in place to keep people away from each other and to keep people from lingering. But a couple of weeks ago, I heard about a great new breakfast burrito in my neighborhood, and I decided to walk over one Sunday morning. I apparently decided to do that at the exact same time that all of the rest of the neighborhood was hearing about this and deciding to make the same choice. So I got there, and there was, you know, like I said, I live in New York, and this is a very New York experience. Just a line of people down the block waiting patiently, mostly, to try this breakfast burrito. And I just got in line and sort of listened to the chatter of people around me and looked at everybody's outfits and just had a great time just being in like a line of humanity down the block, like we all used to before this all happened. So, you know, I think that there are experiences out there available to you if you're willing to get in the wrong burrito line.
Now, one thing I've tried, and you're a sports fan, so I don't know, maybe you've done something like this. I've watched Packers games, of course, is what we're going to watch here, and just had a text circle with some old buddies who, you know, we never see each other really anymore. They're scattered around the country, and we just have a, you know, Packers game length text chain going along. Have you done anything like that with your, I don't know, fellow University of Georgia fans?
Yes, I've done some things like that. Back in the beginning of college football season, we had a virtual tailgate where a bunch of our New York City-based dog fans could get on and sort of see each other's faces and you know, in a very low-stakes, low-pressure environment while one of the first games of the season was on TV. And that was great. And I've also, you know, been texting with people. Some people I haven't seen in years that this opportunity to talk a whole lot has just sort of rekindled our friendship in that way, because we were sort of separated by distance before, but now everybody's separated by distance. So why not? So there's been some sort of like surprising little things there. And I'm lucky because New York has done a really good job with outdoor dining and things like that. So I've gotten to go, you know, with a couple of close friends to a very small group of people to watch some football games outdoors in the past few months, which has been wonderful, although it's too cold now to do any of that. And football's almost over.
Right. We heard from Belle on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Belle writes, my family moved to a new area last year and I have young children. One of the hardest parts of the pandemic is that my boys don't have the opportunity to be outside in the yard meeting the other kids in the neighborhood. They really miss being able to go and have those interactions. As a parent, it's hard to explain and watch them go through the emotions they face being isolated. Yeah, those playground encounters for kids are off the table too, Amanda.
Right. This is a whole different challenge for parents. I was talking to one of my coworkers today who has a 2.5-year-old, and she was saying that she doesn't think her son remembers what it's like to be in anybody else's house. Because he hasn't been in a year and he was only a year and a half old then. So there's a lot of things that have been closed off to kids in really cruel ways, that are, you know, they're cruel, but they're not negotiable at this moment. And there's just, I don't think that there's any good or correct way to navigate these things. And I, you know, my heart goes out to parents. I don't have any good way to navigate that. I don't think anybody has. This is something that we've been trying to write a lot about at work, but it's just hard.
Great. Now we've got all the callers coming in. Now Margie is with us in Milwaukee. Margie, hi.
Hi there. Quick note, my mother is 95 and living in assisted living in Indiana, and I'm in Milwaukee. I used to drive down every 6 weeks and stay with her for about a week in her apartment with her. I obviously haven't done that for a year. And in the first 6 months, she lost 20 pounds. And, you know, everybody in the assisted living is masked. They didn't go out of their rooms for meals. Everything was so isolated. I purchased a grand pad, which is like an individual computer, but it's not like with the internet. It's through a phone company. And mom has this little 9-inch screen at her table. And I can call her on my phone, and then I can take my phone around through the neighborhood and show her like people's flowers or Christmas decorations. And once in a while, if there's a person on the street, I'll say, "Hey, will you want to talk to my mom?" And I'll shift it up there and mom will talk. And it's been a good connection. She can see me. I can see her. But she's 95. She can't use a computer.
Sure.
Marcy, I'm going to jump in because we're just about out of time. The part of that I thought was neat for our conversation, Amanda, was, you know, her mom gets to run into a person on the street.
Yeah, I think that there are really creative ways that this can be used. And I think it's especially important for our elderly who are so separated from everybody else, even more so than the rest of America is in this situation, and finding any creative ways that we can to make them feel connected and make them feel loved and make them feel like part of the world again is great.
Thanks for that call. And Amanda, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Amanda Mull is a staff writer at The Atlantic. She talked with us about her latest piece called "The Pandemic Has Erased Entire Categories of Friendship." You can find a link to that at wpr.org/centraltime. You can also share your thoughts and stories on the Ideas Network Facebook page.